Radio Prague News.
The defense minister has praised work by members of the Czech military recently back from missions in Afghanistan. The Social Democratic Party has called on deputies to support a government draft bill on the labor code, recently vetoed by the president. The foreign ministry has said that the foreign minister will again raise the issue of visas for Czechs in an upcoming visit to the United States. Defense Minister Karel Kienl has praised work by members of the military recently back from missions in Afghanistan. On Friday, the minister awarded military decorations to members of units in Prskejov and Bechyně, members of a sapper unit serving at the international airport in Kabul, and a reconnaissance and information gathering unit serving in the northeast of the country, monitoring local developments. Minister Kienl said that the soldiers had contributed to increased stability in Afghanistan and praised them for serving successfully under difficult and often dangerous conditions. The Czechs served for roughly 6 months under the international ISAF mission. The Social Democratic Party has called on deputies in parliament to support a government draft bill to the labor code, vetoed earlier this week by President Václav Klaus. The bill needs a majority 101 votes in the 200-member Chamber of Deputies to pass in an upcoming vote. Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek reacted to the president's veto by saying his party's MPs were ready to override the decision, but it is clear that he will need to find support elsewhere if the bill is to pass. The right-of-center Civic Democrats have already voiced opposition, while Josef Janáček, deputy chairman of Parliament's Social Policy Committee, said that his party, the Christian Democrats, will again vote against the code. The first time the bill passed, it was with support from Social Democrat and Communist MPs. According to the Foreign Ministry, the Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda is planning on again raising the issue of visa requirements for Czech citizens visiting the U.S. in an upcoming visit to Washington. The minister will discuss the issue when he meets with U.S. Senate Foreign Committee Chairman Chuck Hagel next week. In recent months, Czech politicians have criticized asymmetric conditions requiring Czechs to have visas to travel to the United States, while Americans do not need the same to visit the Czech Republic. Despite well-publicized objection by the foreign minister, Washington has not indicated any desire to waive visa requirements for Czech visitors at this time. And finally, a look at the weather. Sunny weather is expected into the weekend, with daytime temperatures reaching comfortable highs of around 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. Today, a Czech journalist faces prosecution in Slovakia after hiding his mobile phone under the Prime Minister's desk. Award-winning film director Alice Nellis makes her debut as a playwright, and the Prague Spring International Music Festival has just begun in Prague. We have all that, plus a roundup of this week's business news. Don't go away. A curious case of eavesdropping emerged from neighbouring Slovakia on Thursday after a Czech journalist working for a Slovak newspaper was accused of trying to bug cabinet meetings. The journalist, Václav Nekvapil, faces up to 2 years in prison after hiding his mobile phone in the Prime Minister's office. Rob Cameron has been following the story and joins me now in the studio. Rob, tell us more about this unusual case.
Right, Pavla. Well, the journalist is called Václav Nekvapil. He works for the Slovak Weekly Plus Sedum Dni, and he's been charged with attempting to bug a meeting of the Slovak cabinet by secreting his mobile phone into the room where the meeting was held. He has admitted taping the phone to the underside of Slovak Prime Minister Mikuláš Zurinda's desk during an open day at the cabinet office, for which he faces up to 2 years in prison and deportation from Slovakia if he's found guilty.
Right, and what was Mr. Nekvapil's defence?
Well, he says he was just testing the Slovak government's security, but it seems that the Slovak authorities have taken a rather dim view of that defence and have pressed charges.
And what's been the reaction among the Slovak public?
Well, for an answer to that question, I spoke earlier to Lubomir Šulko. He's from the mass circulation newspaper Nový Čas.
I think for Czech Republic is something funny, but in fact it's not really funny when somebody tries to listen to Prime Minister in the phone that is on the table. It's quite funny for people, but, you know, it's not funny in general.
So the public haven't really taken this story very seriously then?
Yes, not very seriously, I think.
But you think it is something that should be of some concern to the authorities in Slovakia?
Of course. I think it's serious when somebody tries to do something like this, you know, to Prime Minister, that is head of state in some way.
And what conclusions will the Slovak authorities draw from this incident? Will security be tightened in the Slovak Prime Minister's office?
I don't think so, because it was the security was okay. No problem with security, because they have found the mobile before. It was something down with that, something bad. So the security was okay. There's no problem with security. They have done a great job, I think.
But do you think perhaps they will think again before opening the doors of the Slovak Prime Minister's office to the public?
Yes, on that day they should be more careful in the future.
And that was Lubomir Šuko from the newspaper Novi Čas. Perhaps, Pavla, the Slovak government will keep a closer eye on visitors next time they open the doors to the public.
Thank you very much. That was Rob Cameron. The award-winning director and Czech native Alice Nelis has a new play that will make its debut this Sunday at the theatre on the balustrade in Prague's Old Town. The play, titled Záplavy, which means floods in English, is her first original production since her two films, Eeny Meeny and Some Secrets. Both won a host of trophies. She talks about her newest work with Radio Prague's Brian Sabin.
The closing theme of Some Secrets, Alice Nelis' 2002 film. Since that time, she stayed away from the screen and worked mostly on stage. Her newest work, Floods, is a comedy inspired in part by the catastrophic floods of 2002. Though this may seem like a bleak setting for laughter, the script creates humor by placing characters into unfamiliar situations and watching how they react.
You know, flood is something that comes and takes away not only things, but also your routine, the way you are used to live. And it doesn't mean your house necessarily doesn't have to be underwater and your life can be changed. If only these normal things, like how you go to work, if you go to work, where will you stay? Maybe somebody will come to stay with you. So in my play, the flood is a frame for taking people out of their everyday life.
The plot centers on two sisters who haven't lived together for quite some time. They are forced to share the house willed to them by their parents after one sister is evacuated. The two have quite a complex past, and the dialogue slowly reveals problems that are rooted in their childhoods. Nelis says the theater allows her more leeway to play with reality, and so the ghosts of the sisters' parents even work their way into the mix. Theater directing is also more collaborative than movie directing. In film, Nelis would have the last say on what scenes make the final cut. On stage, the actors ultimately decide what the audience sees.
I have to say that this time I've been very, very lucky with the cast. Not only that I like the actors, but it seems that the actors like each other. It's a lot of fun because I did not work with most of them before. They made a very good group. So that fact helps a lot, because acting is not only about a relation of director and the actor, but about relations between actors, how much they can concentrate on each other.
Many who attend Floods will recognize Pavel Liska. He's appeared in several movies such as Return of the Idiot, Wild Bees, and Something Like Happiness, often in goofy comedic roles. Much of the rest of the cast hails from the theater on the balustrade and are regulars on the stage there. While she stopped short of saying that her play has a moral, Nelis says there are lessons that can be learned from disaster.
Sometimes the worst things that happen to you, and floods are pretty bad for a lot of people, it was real catastrophe, they can be the best that can happen to you, because they are purging. They sometimes clean things, clean your life, clean your old cellar. And things that at the beginning might really sound like a big loss and catastrophe, in the end might turn out like a process that actually might be good and healthy.
And that report by Brian Sabin. In case you've just tuned in, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. music from a short film by the cutting-edge Irish visual artist Make.ie. They are among the guests at Data Transfer, a festival of contemporary visual culture being held at Prague's Archa Theatre this weekend. Ian Willoughby found out more about this year's Data Transfer, the sixth, from one of its curators, Jana Zielinski.
We are trying to show in the Czech Republic the contemporary visual phenomenon. We will show style magazines in an exhibition style society. And we will, during 3 days, from Friday to Sunday, we will show at the screenings different films about graphic design, about fashion, animation, showing music videos, which we think that are important and which are visually strong. We will show a photographic exhibition about urban culture, about the graffiti, which are made into glass. And there will be as well a panel discussion about the style, about visual culture, and about the magazines.
Well, I see one film you're showing is a Czech sci-fi classic called Ikaria Xperjedna. What is that for our listeners who don't know it?
It's a very famous film by Polak and Juracek. These are important directors from the 70s. And we would like to show the people this film, which is not screened very often anymore, but it's a unique sci-fi film from the future, which is very, very visually strong. And we think that actually it should be screened on a big screen for the audience. So that's why we have decided that after we show the Czech style, which is about the Czech contemporary visual styles and from the Czech contemporary visual directors, so after that we would like to show this retro film.
Generally speaking, how much of the input is Czech and how much foreign?
I would say that about one-third of the program is Czech and two-thirds are foreign.
Also, I see you have a football theme this year. Why is that?
Well, we think that basically this year we have two major visual events in the world. And one is the World Cup in football in Germany and the other one is data transfer.
And that was curator Jana Zielinski talking to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. And now, as every Friday, it's time for a weekly roundup of Czech business news. And for that, I'm joined by Dita Asiedu. And we start with some good news for the Czech economy. Foreign trade recorded a 9 billion crown surplus in March. That's 1.7 billion more than 1 year ago, the Czech Statistical Office announced this week. The rise has mainly been attributed to exports of machinery and transport equipment, especially cars and car components. The period January to March of this year saw a trade surplus of 27.3 billion crowns. Deputy Industry and Trade Minister Martin Tlapa says Czech foreign trade is among the fastest growing in the EU and could show a surplus of 80 billion by the end of the year. Exports have also been on the rise to countries outside the European Union, such as the former Soviet Union, the Balkans and China. The cabinet has approved a proposed contract with Hyundai. The South Korean car manufacturer intends to invest up to 1 billion euros in a new car plant in the Moravian town of Noszowice. In the draft agreement, the state binds itself to support the plant's construction with a 2.4 billion crown donation between 2007 and 2013. The state also offers an investment incentive of up to 2.5 billion crowns to create workplaces and upgrade skills of the workforce. Hyundai can also expect tax leverage of up to 1.3 billion crowns. The Trade and Industry Minister, Milan Urban, will sign the agreement in Seoul this month, once it's approved by Hyundai's board of directors.
The Czech company Škoda Export is almost certain to land a contract that would be the biggest project in the country's history outside its borders, the Czech business paper Hospodářské noviny writes. The state-owned engineering company is the favorite in a tender to build a power plant in India. The company had already been chosen for the $480 million project when one of the other contenders appealed the decision. If Škoda Export lands the deal, it will try to involve as many Czech suppliers as possible in the project, its general director Jaroslav Hubáček says.
The number of Czechs in favour of euro adoption is on the decline, an opinion poll conducted by the CVVM agency in April suggests. As opposed to 58% in 2003, only 45% of those polled this year would like the Czech Republic to enter the single European market. 43% of respondents were against the adoption of the euro. The government plans to enter the eurozone in 2010, while experts say 2012 or 2013 are more realistic target dates.
And that's mainly because there are two main conditions that the Czech Republic has yet to meet in order to enter the eurozone. It needs a public finance deficit that does not exceed 3% of GDP, and its currency has to be in a plus or minus 15% band in the ERM2 for at least 2 years. The Czech Republic is not expected to enter the ERM2, which is the exchange rate mechanism, before next year.
And while on the subject of the Czech currency, the Czech crown reached its highest ever level against the euro on Thursday at 28.19 crowns. Analysts said that the increase was linked to a rise in all Central European currencies.
And finally, the country's biggest banks have been recording a significant rise in the number of mortgages given to people who do not have a family and plan to live alone. Up to 30% of mortgages are given to single buyers. In the Česká spořitelna bank, for example, a mere 8% of those who applied for a mortgage in 2000 were single. Last year, that number had reached 28%. Sociologists say this is a clear sign that Czechs now prefer building a career to having a family. And with rising wages, many more Czechs can also afford to buy a home with a mortgage on just one salary.
You are listening to Radio Prague. The Prague Spring International Classical Music Festival was launched in the Czech capital on Thursday with exactly the same program as in its first year in 1946. You'll find out more in this week's Arts with Jan Wellinger.
This Thursday saw the start of the famous Prague Spring Festival. This year opened by the Czech Philharmonic, performing works by J.B. Forster, Ottokar Ostrčil that you heard there, and Antonín Dvořák, conducted by Zdeněk Macal. The repertoire echoed the first historic concert in 1946, while Friday will see a performance of the more traditional Má vlast Bedřich Smetana's My Country. The festival, as always, is taking place at a number of important and architecturally stunning venues, including Prague's Rudolfinum Concert Hall, the Estates Theatre, the National Theatre, and Prague's Municipal House. On Wednesday, I caught up with Roman Belor, the head of Prague Spring, and asked him about some of this year's highlights.
On that list, among highlights, we have to mention the concert of the Vienna Philharmonic with Leopold Hager. Their comeback to the festival is very important because they haven't been to the festival for almost four decades, but it's a shame. And they will be playing compositions by Mozart and Mahler. It means authors who are more or less symbolizing musical connections between Czech lands and Austria. Of course, we are pleased to have back at the Prague Spring Festival Edita Gruberová, an excellent soprano of a Slovak origin. I would like to mention that among the themes of the festival we have, of course, like all promoters all over the world, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and Dmitri Shostakovich, but in the same time we have invited Slovakia as an official guest of the festival. It means we have put a kind of emphasis on Slovak artists and Slovak music. And of course we are having some special projects like Gure Lieder by Arnold Schönberg, what is a huge composition not very often played in Prague.
With so much to choose from, and even this just barely the tip of the iceberg, it was perhaps unfair to ask Roman Bielor which performance he was personally looking forward to the most.
It's hard to say because I would say that all concerts are partly my children, and I know about them from their birth. Nevertheless, there are some concerts that seem very important to me. One of them is a recital of an excellent mezzo-soprano, Bernarda Fink.
Leading up to the festival this week also saw the opening of a modest exhibition at Prague's Municipal House mapping the Prague Spring's long history. Featuring photos, descriptions and some multimedia presentations outlining, for example, visits by greats in the past like Herbert von Karajan, Mstislav Rostropovich and Leonard Bernstein. The exhibit area is open to visitors during the day and evenings and offers an overview of the festival's development. The charismatic actor Petr Narožný officially opened the show, while violinist Václav Hudeček performed. Afterwards, Roman Bielor talked briefly about the exhibition's aim.
Its ambition is not to map in all details the festival's history, because it's impossible on such a limited space. Nevertheless, people may choose documentary films with fantastic concerts from all decades of the festival. People can read on the panels important moments of the festival's history, and they can also see some special objects symbolizing the history of the festival. There is a baton of Václav Talich and special costumes from Don Giovanni, scenography of 60s that was a symbol. The symbol of the theatrical successes of the National Theatre at that time. So it's a kind of impression. The list of the guest artists, and especially guest artists from former West, is witnessing that this was always an important festival.
Also this week on Thursday, a special award ceremony related to the music festival was held at Prague's Old Town Hall. Organized by the Czech Music Council, the ceremony recognized the talents of Czech musicologist Pavel Klikar and English musicologist Graham Melville Mason. On the occasion, Mr. Melville Mason, chairman of the British Dvořák Society and an international advisor to the Prague Spring Festival, spoke to Radio Prague. We asked him how, over the years, the Prague Spring has changed, not least following the fall of communism in Czechoslovakia in 1989.
It's changed, of course, from the pre-89 days, when it was very much a cultural shop window and used to a certain degree for propaganda purposes. But it was, even in those days, the only time, except for the Brno and the Bratislava International Festivals, that former Western artists were invited to festival functions in old Czechoslovakia. So there was, even then, a very strong mix, which was slanted very heavily towards the Eastern Bloc countries. That was also reflected very much in the competition, the Prague Spring competition, which goes on at the same time, where the juries were very heavily weighted to Eastern Bloc jurors. And a player entering from a Western country really had to be extremely good to get into the three prizes. One of the first things that was done by the new director of the Prague Spring Festival, Oleg Podgorny, in 1990, was to change the rules of the competition and make it so that the jury was truly international and that the Czech jurors were not in a majority. Did a great deal to improve interest in the competition on an international level, of course. As far as the festival goes, of course, it meant from 90 onwards, while very importantly Czech music and indeed Slovak music to a certain extent like this year remains very central to the festival, and it's important that it is in order to give it an individuality of its own, since so many international festivals now begin to look all the same. So it's important for Prague Spring to keep its very strong Czech connections, given the country has such a strong cultural and musical heritage. But nevertheless, there is a much wider spread now of international musicians and international repertoire appearing at the Prague Spring compared with 89 and before.
musicologist Graham Melville Mason, ending our look there at the Prague Spring Music Festival now underway. And if you are in Prague, be sure to see at least a couple of concerts. It really is the musical event of the season. That's the arts.
The symphonic poem Šárka by Bedřich Smetana brings us to the end of today's program. If you'd like to go back to some of the stories you've heard, you will find them all at www.radio.cz, both in sound and text. The address for your questions and comments is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. From me, Pavla Horáková, and everyone here in the sunny and warm Czech capital, thanks for listening and have a very good weekend.